We are on. welcome back to in-person Wednesday night Bible study. It's good to have people in here with me on Wednesday nights. We've got kids' activities happening in the back, and I just want to welcome those of you that are joining us live on YouTube, and then I want to thank you for being with us tonight, all of you that are here. This format's going to be just a little bit different than what it was, than what it's been like for the last several months. For one thing, we are here in person, and so thank you for being here. Also, we have kids here, which is a good thing. We have leaders. We have Rural Rangers and Girls Ministries taking place in the back, and so thank you for being here. So what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to have a few announcements, the Bible study, and then maybe a time of some, if you have any questions, maybe I'll try to answer those questions the best that I can. But when we end the Bible study, the YouTube Live will end, and then those that are here, we're going to have a time of prayer. So kind of like it was before, but except that we're going to, each week we're going to be doing a Bible study, and we're going to, you know, it'll be anywhere between, you know, 20 to 30 minutes, and then we will pray for the remainder of the time. If you're joining us live on YouTube, you can send us your prayer needs, and we'll be happy to pray with you. It's 47, you can send a text, 479-888-7331. If you're here in person, you can fill out a prayer card. If we don't have them, you can send us a text. I think I forgot to put the prayer cards in the deals because we haven't hadn't needed them or hadn't had them available for a while. So trying to get back to used to doing some things the way that we've had before. So real quick, I want to start with some announcements. I want to remind you that Ladies Coffee is this Saturday at 10 a.m. It's going to be in the fellowship hall. It is still bring your own breakfast. We know that some of the restaurants are only allowing so many people to congregate together in tables. So until they open that up more, we're going to continue to have Ladies Coffee here the second Saturday of every month at 10 a.m., and it will continue to be bring your own breakfast. Men's campout. It's scheduled for September 24th and 26th. It's going to be at Daniel Falls. And the cost is $15, and that cost helps us with the food cost. If you need more information, you can get with Kent Daniel, or you can talk to me, ask me any questions, and I'll try to answer the best I can. If I don't know the answer, I'll refer you to Kent. So but we'll go from there. And then don't miss this Sunday. We're starting a new series called Get in the Game, and we're going to have lots of fun with this. We're going to try to make it a little more, a little different than just our normal everyday Sunday. It's kind of having a football theme. Football season starts this Sunday, and I didn't necessarily plan that. It's just it happened to be the Sunday that I was starting this series. But this Sunday, I'm going to give a gift to everybody that comes, and then the next Sunday we're asking people to wear their favorite team jersey. Come, support your team, represent your team, whether with a jersey, a T-shirt, however, you know, whatever you want to wear. And then on the last week of the series, September 27th, we're going to have a tailgate party after service on the parking lot. So be sure to invite some people. One thing you can tell people is we have plenty of room, because here's the thing, we have more chairs. This is not all of our chairs. So what we'll do is if we have to add chairs, we'll add chairs to create as much space as we possibly can so that we can maintain our social distance. So encourage people to come back to church. Tell them, hey, we've got plenty of room. There's plenty of space for everybody, and it's so that we can social distance. Today we're in Daniel chapter 9, and before we get into our Bible study, I want to let you in on our next Wednesday night book study. Now, we'll be doing a five-week study on the book of Micah. Somebody's saying, Micah has a book. Yes, Micah has a book. It's not a long book, but we're going to do a five-week study on the book of Micah. It's one of the minor prophets towards the end of the Old Testament, and we'll be taking a look at that. You don't want to miss this study. It's going to be a good study. God expects us as believers to care deeply for one another and for the world around us. And when we do, He will correct us. And that is what Micah is about. How God will accomplish His plan with or without us. But today, though, we've got 2 weeks left on our study from the book of Daniel. And I want to begin reading in chapter 9 at verse 1. And as I read this passage of Scripture, I want you to think about this. There are some things that God has determined will happen at a certain time in history. You see, the restoration of Jews from captivity in Babylon and Persia back to their homeland was one of those such events. And this historic event, it was predicted by many Old Testament prophets, including Jeremiah and Ezekiel. But God's plans and purposes also involve human responsibility. And for this reason, God calls and inspires His people to give full attention to fasting and praying for things He has planned. Now, in this chapter, Daniel provides a great example of this principle. So take a look. Daniel chapter 9, beginning at verse 1, says this: In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with Him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant of love with those who love Him and keep His commandments. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from Your commands and laws. We have not listened to Your servants, the prophets, who spoke in Your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, You are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where You have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to You, we and our kings, our princes, and our ancestors are covered with shame. Lord, because we have sinned against You, the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving. Even though we have rebelled against Him, we have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws He gave us through His servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed Your law and turned away, refusing to obey You. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against You. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing on us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to Your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster on us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything He does, yet we have not obeyed Him. Now, Lord our God, who brought Your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for Yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned. We have done wrong. Lord, in keeping with all Your righteous acts, turn away Your anger and Your wrath from Jerusalem, Your city, Your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our ancestors have made Jerusalem and Your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy, Lord. Listen, Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. You see, this passage that I just read to you, it comes in between some of the visions that Daniel receives. And in the first couple verses of this chapter, Daniel is interpreting and understanding the prophecies that Jeremiah received. As Daniel saw that the period of desolation was quickly ending, he responded the way that Jeremiah instructed, praying to God wholeheartedly. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 12 through 14, he says this: "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." Those were the words that Jeremiah wrote. Jeremiah gave instructions to the people in exile concerning how to live in captivity. And those instructions included seeking God and believing that he would restore them. Three quarters of the text that I read to you is a prayer by Daniel. Prayer is a very important part of a believer's life. Understanding the purpose and importance of prayer, it's tricky, especially when we're thinking about a book that stresses the sovereignty of God. I mean, that's the thing. You know, we've been doing the book of Daniel for the past, this is our seventh week on the book of Daniel. And you can see story after story after story where we see the sovereignty of God, where God had his hand of protection upon, especially the stories that we've read with Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But we can see the sovereignty of God being played out. You know, Daniel did not regard prayer as unnecessary in view of the certainty of the fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy. So think about this. Daniel knew the prophecy of Jeremiah. He's read it. He understood it. He knew that God was going to deliver them out. After a time, he knew. Did that stop him from praying? Did that stop him from having that conversation with God on a regular basis? No. He continued to pray. He continued to have that relationship with God. He continued to do it, even though he knew what was going to happen. He viewed prayer properly as one means that God uses to accomplish his will in human history. Now, through prayer, we become partners with God in bringing his will to fruition in the world. We need God's will to take place in this world, and God's will is accomplished to his believers coming to him in prayer. That's how God's will is accomplished. Daniel prayed this prayer because he knew God is faithful to respond to repentance with grace. And he begins his prayer with the foundation for his request. Look at verse 4 of what I just read to you. He said, "O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands." See, when we enter into prayer and when we seek to faithfully partner with God in his redemptive work on earth, our foundation lies in God's faithfulness to his people. Do we have things that we have to ask ourselves? Do we believe that God is faithful? Yes. Do we believe that God is sovereign? Yes. And if we believe these things, we have to understand that God is faithful to us. He loves us. He cares for us. He wants something great for us, greater than we ever could even imagine for ourselves. And so as we listen, as we have that relationship with God, as he becomes our faithful partner by praying, by having that communication with him, then we understand that he is going to do some amazing and great things that we never thought or even imagined that he could do. When we look at the world that we're in today, now, I know none of us know the future, right? I mean, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, right? I mean, we wish we could. But if we knew if we truly knew the future, would we have as much of a relationship with God if we didn't? Does that make sense what I'm trying to say? So think about it. If we knew what was going to happen, would there be any need for faith? Probably not, right? Because we know what's going to happen. We know that no matter what I do today, it's not going to change the outcome. Do you see what I'm saying? If we know that, okay, tomorrow A, B, and C is going to happen, which means I don't have to do anything in hopes that A, B, and C don't happen. Does that make sense? We live each day in faith, believing that God's got something greater and God's got something better. Now, I say that God has great things in store for us. Why? Because we are his people. He loves us. He cares for us. And we should have a constant relationship with him. How do we have a constant relationship? The same way we have a constant relationship with anybody. By communication, right? If I don't talk to God, if I don't have that open line of communication with God, there's no relationship there. Just same thing. If I don't have a open line of communication with my wife, guess what? There's no relationship there. We have to have an open line of communication, and that's where prayer comes in our life as believers, as Christians. That's why we should pray. We should pray so that we can communicate with God. We should pray so that we can talk to him and have that relationship so that we can live a life that's pleasing to him, a life that he wants for us, because his plans are greater than any plans that we could ever have for ourselves. Now, Daniel, in his prayer time, he also takes responsibility for the sin of the nation. If you look at verse 11, he says this, "All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you." If you've ever read any of the Old Testament, and I'm talking about from the beginning that you can possibly remember, you know, from Genesis or whatever, all the way to where we are now in Daniel, if you've read any history of the Old Testament, you can see and you can know that God's people weren't the greatest people. And it probably happened more so after he brought them out of Egypt. You know, I mean, they still were whining and complaining when they were, you know, wandering around in the wilderness. They were still griping, you know, why don't you give us something besides, you know, manna from heaven? Why don't you, you know, give us something else? And he gives them quail, and they were griping about it. You know, why don't we have some water to drink? Why don't we have this? You know, they're just a bunch of whiners, you know. And if you read on through, you know, through Joshua, Judges, we went through Judges a couple, you know, several months ago, and we spent six weeks in Judges. You see how awful those people were. And even the judges that were supposed to be men and women of God that were brought in to minister to the people, to teach the people, to stand judge over them, they were awful individuals. And if you read throughout Kings and you see all the kings that were kings of king of Judah or king of Israel, and you see how awful some of those kings were, you know, but you see all this, and so there's a reason why God sent his people into captivity. And so here Daniel is, He is taking that responsibility upon himself. And that's why verse 11, he says, all Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. He was asking for forgiveness. He was repenting for the whole nation of Israel. He was putting all that upon himself and saying, we repent. We are crying out. I am crying out for Israel. I'm crying out for your people. But you know, Daniel has spent his entire adult life living in this hostile culture with Babylon and then also with Persia, refusing the demands for loyalty and but he's continually worshiping God. You have never seen somebody more loyal than what Daniel was. He was very faithful to God. Even in the most awfulest of situations, in the most bleakest of times, here he was still being faithful, still loving God, and still doing all that he could do. But remember all the stories, you know, not eating from the king's table, Daniel interpreting the king's dream, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace, Daniel thrown in lion's den. I mean, if this wasn't a hostile culture, then I don't know what is. Because it was completely hostile. And Daniel doesn't have any true responsibility for the sins that led Israel into exile. A lot of this stuff that happened and took place, Daniel wasn't even born yet. And yet he acknowledges the way the entire nation has sinned, and he asked for God's grace. Now, many of us have lost this sense of responsibility for corporate or collective sin. You know, when we're confronted with culture issues of racism, sexism, sexual immorality, abuse of power, our first response should be to repent of our own implication in these cultural sins as part of the community and to lament how far-reaching their effects are. God is faithful to redeem his people. Daniel interceded on behalf of the people of Israel that committed the sins against God. He cried out for the people. So I want to say this. The time is now for you and I to intercede for this world. You know, we can partner with God in his redemptive work through prayer and service. And you can look all throughout the scriptures, you can see where God's people interceded for one another. And you and I can do this now. So, the question is, what do we need to pray for? And I want to close with this. We need to pray to God for the forgiveness of sins. We need to pray for God for the forgiveness of our sins. But not just our sins, for the sins of our neighbors. The sins of our brothers, our sisters, our relatives, our friends, our enemies. We also need to pray for people in authority to lead well. And that would be teachers, that would be governors, presidents, world leaders, anybody in authority. Pray that they lead well. We need to pray for the spiritual growth of believers, you and I, that as we go through our life, we need to pray and believe that God will help us grow spiritually. We need to pray for effective pastors. That I need prayer. I need God to give me his word so that I can deliver it to you, so that you can grow in your faith. We need to pray for effective mission work. Not all of us can go and do all the work, right? We have to send missionaries into foreign countries. We have to send missionaries into local. Like Clayton was here Sunday. He's a missionary to our campus here in Fort Smith, to the University of Arkansas at Fort Smith. You know, we need to pray for our missionaries. Dole Robinson in Sox Place in Denver. We need to pray for these missionaries, you know. Pray for the missionaries around the world. We need to pray that God would move in them and touch them and help them to, by whatever means necessary, to preach the gospel. We need to pray for the spiritual salvation of others. You probably know people right now that do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You know some people right now that are probably running from God. Maybe they knew God at one point, and for whatever reason, they've turned away and said they don't have anything to do with the church. You probably know people like that. We need to pray for their spiritual salvation. We need to pray for people to praise God, for people to come in here with that spirit of thanksgiving, shaking off those burdens and coming in with a heart of praise and a heart of worship and ready to worship the Lord, that as we sing and as the word is being delivered, as the offering is taken up, that they have that spirit of praise in them, that they're praising God. We need to pray for people to be healed. I believe, and I've said this, I said, here's one thing, and I understand, I don't want to discredit anyone's beliefs on what's been happening in our world. I'm not here to say it's worse than it is or it's not as bad as it is. That's not what I'm here to say. But I am here to say this. At what point are we as Christians going to believe in the power of prayer far more than we have the fear of this virus? We have to believe that God can heal, that God can touch, and we have to pray for people to be healed and believe that God will touch their lives. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit's power to come. You know, I love Acts 1:8. You will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. To what? Be my witnesses, right? We need the Holy Spirit guiding us and directing us. I'm going to be preaching a series in the month of October on the Holy Spirit. And I'm looking forward to this series. I've been studying up on it, reading it, and I'm excited about it. But we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit's power to come and be in our services, to be in our lives, to be wherever we go. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us, to lead us, to show us where we need to go, what we need to do. Anything that the Holy Spirit or the Bible reveals as God's will, His desires, His plans, His purposes, those things, they become the timely focus for intercessory prayer. One unfailing principle that God allows, or that God always honors, is the power of continued enduring prayer and faith. You know, it'd be easy for us to look at Israel and think, why in the world would Daniel pray for this group of people? I mean, right? I mean, if you've read any of the Old Testament, you'd be sitting there thinking, why, Daniel, do you want God to heal them? You know? It's kind of like when Jonah goes to Nineveh. They were the worst people. And Jonah said, what? God, why do you want me? They're terrible people. They don't even like me. Why would I want to go there? So you would think that Daniel would have that same mentality, but he didn't. Daniel recognized that he has no grounds to beg for God's rescue. This is what he says in verse 18. He says, we do not make request of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. So you see, there are people that you may think don't deserve God's mercy. Well, guess what? You and I, we don't deserve it either. None of us do. But God still gives mercy. You know, there's an old song, and I say old, it's from the 90s, I believe. But it was by Phillips, Craig, and Dean, and it's called Mercy Came Running. And the chorus goes like this, and I just want to read this to you. It says, mercy came running like a prisoner set free, past all my failures to the point of my need. When the sin that I had carried was all I could see, and when I could not reach mercy, mercy came running to me. I love that. I love that chorus. You see, just as God shows His mercy to you, we're going to pray for those that we may think don't deserve it. Why? Because God showed us mercy. Let's pray. God, we just thank You that we can come here tonight and hear Your word And God, I pray that you'd touch hearts and lives of everybody that's here. God, I pray that you would just let this word just penetrate their hearts, penetrate their minds, help them to just understand it and receive it today, God, and they can take this word and go forth and do your work. Pray for those that they may not think deserve it, God, that they can pray for our country, pray for our nation, pray for the world, pray for our missionaries, God, that we can become the intercessors that you want us to be, God, that we can pray for those around us. And God, I give you the praise and I give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to remind you that after this Bible study, you can go. There are some questions at the end of this that you can look in the description on YouTube. And y'all, you that are here, you that are watching, you can go and look at those questions and continue in this study. I know this is a little different. Used to, I'd just say goodnight and we'd move on and all. So what we're going to do now, for those of you that are watching at home, if you have a prayer need that you would like for us to pray with you about, you can send a text to 479-888-7331 so that we can pray for your need. We're going to go ahead and spend some time here in service praying, and so we'll see you next week. Y'all have a good night. We off? Okay. All right. It's going to be weird for a while, isn't it? So here's what we're going to do now. I don't have any prayer cards. Let me see if anybody has sent me a text message. Actually, I do got one. So my uncle just sent me a thing. I don't know all the details, but he has a friend of his